Tonight's message, I've entitled, A Mandate from the Master. A mandate. What is a mandate? It's a command. It's something that God wants us to do. Hudson Taylor was an amazing man. One of the most amazing books I've ever read is called Hudson Taylor's Spiritual Secret by Robert Taylor. It's a powerful, powerful book. If you're interested in missions, I'd encourage you to read it. And I'm going to say this. It's amazing what God can do with someone who is totally dedicated to Him. No question about that. When Hudson Taylor was the director of the China Inland Mission, he often interviewed candidates who wanted to go to the mission field. On one occasion, he met with a group of applicants to determine their motivation for service. Why are you doing this? Why do you wish to go as a foreign missionary? He asked one. One said, I want to go because Christ has commanded us to go into all the world to preach the gospel to every creature. That was his reply. Another said, I want to go because millions are perishing without Christ. Others gave different answers. Then Hudson Taylor said this, all of these motives, however good, will fail you in times of testings, trials, tribulation, as Timothy said, possibly death. There is but one motive that will sustain you in trial and testing, the love of Christ. The Bible says the love of Christ constraineth us. And this evening, as we look at a very well-known figure, I want to share some thoughts about a man who is a reluctant missionary, but possibly the greatest missionary who ever lived as far as a period of service. His name is Jonah. If you have your Bibles, turn with me, if you will, to Jonah chapter 1. We'll read just the first few verses. If you have a chance to go back and read verses 1 through 16 later, that would be good for you to do. But Jonah chapter 1, beginning in verse number 1. The Bible says this. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. By the way, if we see someone who is wicked, they just need Jesus. Oftentimes it's easy for me to say, I'm glad I'm not like them. By the way, that sounds very much like a Pharisee. No, we are all just sinners. We all deserve to go to hell, but for the grace of God. And so he says, cry against it, for their wickedness come before me. Verse 3. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish for the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish for the presence of the Lord. And you know what happened. The next verse says, but the Lord sent a great wind, and the sailors were afraid. They cried out to their gods. And finally they said, somebody here must have done something wrong. That was true. The shipmaster said, what meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God. They knew they needed someone outside of themselves at that time. If so be that God will think upon us, that we perish not. Verse 7, they said, every one to his fellows, come and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. They decided to throw him overboard. Jonah volunteered himself. He knew it was his fault. They rowed hard. It wasn't enough. They weren't going to make it, that big storm. They cried to the Lord. They said, we beseech thee, O Lord, that we perish not for this man's life. Lay not his innocent blood, for thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. Verse 15. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea. And the sea ceased from raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly. That's a great verse. Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart. For consider how great thing is he has done for you. That's what God wants us to do. They offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows. By the way, when you're serious about God, you give sacrifices. Abraham was a friend of God. I think of two things with Abraham. Obviously, he walked by faith, but I think of a tent and an altar. a tent, and an altar. This world was not his home. He was just passing through. You don't see either of those in the life of Lot. He dwelt in Sodom with Abraham, a tent and an altar. By the way, the Lord himself felt at home in Abraham's tent. He didn't go down to Sodom. He sent the angels down there to send the message. Let's pray before we start tonight. Lord, I pray that you'll be with us these next 25 or 30 minutes. I pray that what is said and done here, Lord, will please you and will honor you. Please, Lord, speak through your word and to our hearts tonight. We thank you for what Timothy shared with us tonight. I could not help but think that Dr. Comfort and Brother Beal would certainly be proud of him and how he presented his call to serve you. And I pray you'll keep him faithful. I pray you provide for him. I pray you'll allow him to get back to his homeland quickly. I pray the churches he goes to will respond to his vision to do something great for the Lord. And Lord, I pray you help each of us as you speak to our hearts tonight, that we will respond to what the Holy Spirit wants us to do in our life. I pray you help me to do that as well. We ask for your help tonight, Lord, in this as in all other things. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. The story is told about a little girl who was a faithful Sunday school attender. And she heard the story of Jonah the whale. Well, she went to a public school where they did not believe the Bible, this particular one. I know there's some where they have Christians, but she was so excited about the story of Jonah and the whale. And the teacher looked at her and said, "It is impossible for a whale to swallow a human being because even though it's a very large mammal, its throat is very small." The little girl said, "Jonah was swallowed by the whale." The irritated teacher reiterated that a whale could not swallow a human. It was physically impossible. This can't happen. The little girl said, "Well, when I get to heaven, I'm going to ask Jonah how it happened." The teacher said, "Well, what if Jonah went to hell?" The little girl said, "Then you could ask him." By the way, God said it, that settles it. Right. And by the way, people have been swallowed by a whale and have survived. Now, I don't have to know that to believe God. In the 1500s, they said they knew the total count of the stars in the sky. It was 1,437 in the whole universe. But God said there are more stars in the sky than there are sands in the oceans and on the beaches of the world, which is, that's an incomprehensible thing to think about. And scientists now say, yes, there are more stars. The first telescope, the Galileo, made it better. And they got bigger and bigger and bigger. And we now know we can't even begin to see all the way to the edge of the universe. And yet the Bible says his hand spans the universe. We serve a great God. That's not what the message is about tonight, but I want to share some things that I hope will help you. Number one, we see Jonah's authority. The work and the calling, the Bible says, it came from the word of the Lord. It came from the word of the Lord. By the way, we need to listen to the word of the Lord. When God tells us to do something, we need to say, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" Obey his voice. If you're older like some of us, you might remember the symbol for the old RCA. It was a dog sitting by a gramophone, listening to the voice of his master. Dogs do it. Have you seen any of these little videos of men coming home from the military, been gone for a year or two, and their dog sees them? And they get so excited and so thrilled. And my wife and I, we travel 120 days a year. We are a very happy, pet-free home. All right? It'd be hard to move dogs around and stuff like that all the time. But it's touchy to see. They know their master. They know their master. Sadly, Jonah forgot who the master was. So the work of the calling came from the word of the Lord. The work of the calling was to arise and to go. By the way, the Great Commission says to us to arise and go. Not necessarily to another country, but to go and to be about the master's business. To give you a little geography, Joppa is about 30 miles from Jerusalem. Nineveh, where he was told to go, is about 600 miles east, northeast of Jerusalem. So, Joppa, Nineveh, 600 miles east, northeast. He got a ticket to go to Tarshish, which is 2,200 miles west on the edge of Spain. He wanted to go a long ways away from Nineveh. And that, my friends, is a problem. So many of us don't want to go where he tells us to go or do what he tells us to do. Nineveh was a large and a wicked city. The Bible says it took 3 days to walk across the city. That's a big city. The Bible says that there were 120,000 people in the city, Jonah chapter 4, verse 11. Boy, back then, that's a big city. Big city. And he was told to cry against it. God said, "For the wickedness is come before me." By the way, God sees wickedness. The Bible says, "Thus, if I have iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." Brother Nyer was saying something. He says, "Before I preach, I want to pray and say, Lord, is there anything in my life I need to remove from my life?" I said to him, I said, "That's a hard prayer to pray sometimes, because the Lord will almost always bring something to our mind. But God will only use us if we're clean. If I have iniquity, God won't hear me. He's not going to use me." So they were to be called out for what they're doing. By the way, as believers, we need to stand up for what's right. I have failed at this many times in my life. I'm sad to tell you, when I was in high school, I was a little bit ashamed of going to Faith Baptist schools. I loved basketball back in the day, and I'd go play in a public high school gymnasium in Canoga Park. And they said, "Are you going to be on the team this year?" I said, "No, I don't go." "Where do you go?" I'd say, "A private school." My parents gave their sweat and blood to get that school started. I was the first student 59 years ago in first grade. My dad was the pastor, the superintendent. My mom was the principal and the first grade teacher. How'd that work out? Not good. I was in first grade. You may know this, that in the United States, we have a law called double jeopardy. How many of you have ever heard of that? You can't be punished twice for the same crime. Not so in my family. And my parents believed in corporal punishment. My dad literally used a rod. We had to stand on a washcloth. If we came off the washcloth, we got extra swats. He never lost his temper, never raised his voice at me. Boy, we got whoopings. I'm so thankful God gave me a Christian education. And by the way, parents, you, your children have one chance to help your children or grandchildren get a Christian education. Even if you have to help your children get their kids into Christian school, what a great use of money. What a great use of money. That's not in the notes. That's just free. So, he was to be called out. Now, Jonah was not excited about this, as we sometimes are not excited about talking to our boss about the Lord. I finally got a hold of the man I worked for 7 years in college and 3 years as a faculty member. Roman Catholic. I'd gone back by the restaurant, found it, he sold it. He wasn't there anymore. And out of the blue, amazingly, I got an email from his wife. They retired somewhere here in Florida. I said, "Could I get his number? I want to talk to him." I sent him a gospel tract. I sent him a book. I gave him a gift card to go out for breakfast at a Cracker Barrel. I said, "Please read this." I talked to him on the phone. He didn't get saved. But I feel like I've got blood off my hands. Because while I had a good testimony, I was not a good witness. They called me Mark the Baptist. They knew I didn't smoke, I didn't drink, I didn't cuss. I got the bad music out of the kitchen. I told the waitresses half the restaurant was like a truck stop, half was fine dining. And I said, they started telling me jokes. I said, "It's a dirty joke, I don't want to hear it." Mark the Baptist. But I didn't witness. I had my excuse. "Oh, my church is so far," it was 20 miles away. I was St. John, Indiana. I was going to church in Hammond. There's people I've been seeing probably at the Great White Throne Judgment are going to say, why didn't you ever talk to me? Why didn't you ever talk to me? In the 16th century, I've taught a class called History of the Reformation and learned from a man who had a great expertise in that, named Dr. Edward Pedozia, and loved to read about people who took a stand, people like Luther. You know, here I stand, I could do no other. He was asked to recant. But one of the Protestant reformers was a man in England by the name of Hugh Latimer. And he was known as a great preacher of his day. And as a result, he had many opportunities to speak. And one day he was called before King Henry VIII, the man with the marital difficulties. When he came there, as he thought about the great responsibility to bring a message before the king, he realized the message that God laid on his heart was not a message the king would be glad to hear. As he began his sermon, he said, Latimer, do you remember that you were speaking before the high and mighty King Henry VIII, who has power to command you to be sent to prison? You could have your head cut off if it pleased him. Will you not take care to say nothing that will offend his royal ears? He stopped. And then he said this, Latimer, do you not remember that you were speaking before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, before him at whose throne Henry VIII will stand, and before him to whom one day you will have to give an account for yourself? Latimer, be faithful to your master and declare all of God's word. And he did. He took a stand, and it wasn't Henry VIII. It was his daughter who martyred Henry Latimer. You've heard of his daughter. She's best known as Bloody Mary. By the way, Pastor and I were talking yesterday. There's one crown I don't greatly desire. I hope I would have grace if that time came. But there's a crown called the Martyr's Crown. There's only five crowns mentioned in the Bible. Those are the crowns we can lay at Jesus' feet. A crown for looking for his appearing, a crown for being faithful, a crown for being a pastor, a crown for being a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ, and a crown for being a martyr. He stood for something. He was a great man. So we see Jonah's authority. He came for the Lord. Secondly, we see Jonah's aversion, his flight. Can I say this, friends? You can never flee the presence of God. There's always a price that we fail to obey. By the way, whether it's giving, whether it's going, or whether it's praying. And I'm going to talk on Wednesday night about missions. Are you a renter or an owner? Are you a renter or an owner? Sin will always take you farther than you want to go and keep you longer than you want to stay and charge you more than you want to pay. The Bible has a phrase that's very powerful. It says, consider the end of a thing. And we ought to seek to live our life where we're going to say, thank God I did, rather than, oh, to God, I wish I had. That's really all it comes down to. I'm glad I did, not I wish I had. I am glad I've spent 44 years serving the Lord Jesus Christ. There's other things I missed out on, especially the area of witnessing. It was true with Jonah. It's also true with us. By the way, Jonah was fearful. And I'm going to tell you tonight, rightfully so, I'm going to tell you a little bit about Nineveh. But the Bible says this, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. The Bible says in Psalm 56, verse 3, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. You could trust him. We don't fear man who could destroy the body, but rather we fear God, the one who made our body. Jonah was afraid. I can assure you that I would have been as well. Nineveh was the capital of Assyria. Assyria was an unbelievably wicked society. I have taught history for 44 years, and I've done some studies here, and there are palaces in Sennacherib, the palace of Sennacherib and Ashurbanipal, and on the reliefs of the stone walls, which you can see today, they have pictures of people being impaled, literally running a post through them all the way through the body and out their mouth. I would think that would be a difficult way to die. People being decapitated, flayed, tongues being pulled out. One of the worst things they would do when they were trying to get people to confess, they would sew their nose shut where they could only breathe through their mouth. They would take a piece of cloth and put fish hooks in it and start feeding it down their throat. They had to swallow in order to breathe. And they're swallowing that cloth down into their intestinal tract, and then they'd pull it out and literally pull the people inside out. Now, can I tell you, friends, if I heard that, I would say, I'm out of here. I'm not going there. But as powerful as those people were, as horrible as they were, God is greater. And we are to fear God and not fear men. Jonah thought he could run from God. David, the psalmist, a man after God's own heart, 1 Samuel 13:14, Acts 13:22, said this in Psalm 139, "Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence?" You can't run from God. If God calls us or God tells us to do something, friends, we just need to obey him. So we see Jonah's adjustment. We see the providence of God, and God uses us to save both Nineveh and the men on the ship. It's interesting, as I read to you in chapter 1, they feared God exceedingly and offered sacrifices to him. God could calm the seas. That would have been amazing to see. It made a difference in their life. So we see the providence of God, and then we see the prayer of Jonah. I would think this was probably one of the most intense prayer meetings in history, inside the belly of that fish, that whale. Could you imagine? Talk about getting serious about prayer. By the way, God hears and answers prayer. And God had a plan. It says in chapter 2, verse 1, "Then Jonah prayed to the Lord God out of the fish's belly and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice, for thou hast cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas. Then said I," in verse 4, "I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. The waters compassed me about even to the soul. The depth closed round about me. When my soul fainted within me, I remember the Lord." That's a great verse to remember. Whether it's cancer, remember the Lord. I mailed some cards the way here to church tonight. I mailed it to one of our faculty members, Dr. Rick Allen, who heads up our deaf ministry, who's just diagnosed with a very rare form of cancer. He said, "I'm going to go through these very serious treatments, and then they're going to try bone marrow transplant." He just found out last week. I wrote Brother Michael in my class, stage 4 esophageal cancer. All I can do is pray. I texted both those men tonight. I want them to know someone. I said, "I'm in Miami, but I'm praying for you. I'm thinking about you." His soul fainted, but he remembered the Lord. When you get ready to faint, remember the Lord. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. What an amazing thought. Salvation is of the Lord. Let me read verses 8 and 9 of chapter 2. "They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy, but I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving." He's being thankful inside the belly of the whale. "I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord." When he prayed that, God said, okay. So we talked about the providence of God, the prayer of Jonah. Now we have the purging of the whale. I have never made myself vomit. I've only tried one time. I was preaching in Washington, and I was on one of my many diets. I was eating keto. And I got to the place, and they said, "We're going to have hamburgers tonight." I said, "This is awesome. I can eat that. I'll just wrap it, lettuce, knock it down." I did not do that at Five Guys yesterday. It's better with the bun on it. Amen? So I could tell you the town, I won't, or I could tell you the pastor's name, I won't. I remember them very well. I got there and they grilled these hamburgers out. I put cheese on them, tomatoes on them, mustard, onion, wrapped it in lettuce, popped that baby down. It was lonely, so I had another one. Might have had a third. I said, "Thank you for fixing those hamburgers for us." Man, I said, I'm not eating bread right now. That was great. And the man said to me, he said, That was one of our cows. We slaughtered it ourselves. I'm thinking, man, they fed that cow good. This is great. Then he said this. I'll never forget it. He said, we had to. It was really sick. He said, yeah, this white stuff was coming out of his nose, out of his mouth. I'm going, you fed that to the preacher, the singing group? I went around the side of that little auditorium, probably didn't seat 60 people, and I tried to make myself throw up. It didn't work. I put my finger down my throat. I said, oh. I couldn't get rid of it, but I prayed. I'll never forget that. That's purging, right? Sometimes people will swallow the wrong things, and I've heard about people. I know some young people that have taken too many pills, and they make them purge it. They give them something that will purge, make them throw it up and get it out of it. Well, God did something. He put a touch on that whale, and he purged that whale, and up came Jonah. I'm just visualize this. I just think it was probably projectile vomiting. Poof, out he came. You know, I don't know if he landed on the sand. I bet he went and rinsed himself off real good, but there was a purging. Out he came. The Lord spoke, the fish vomited. God is greater. Do you know how big a whale is? But God is bigger, God is greater. Then we see the preaching to the sinners. In chapter 3, the Bible says this, and the Lord came unto Jonah a second time. Aren't you glad that our God is the God of the second chance? By the way, ladies and gentlemen, when you're like the Lord, you're going to give people second chances. A just man falls 7 times and rises yet again. Paul said to the group, he says, and such were some of you. Let's be careful about judging. Matthew chapter 5, the great passage by the Lord Jesus Christ, chapters 5 through 7, on the Mount of Beatitudes, he said, judge not, lest ye be judged. Let's leave that in God's hands. Don't sit there and say, I don't think that person's even saved. We don't know. Because I can promise you, if you asked me if Lot was saved, I would have said no. Wicked, selfish, drunken, incestuous. And in Peter it says, just Lot vexed his righteous soul. So let's not judge. Judgment belongs to the Lord. He will separate the wheat from the chaff when that day comes. Not our job to judge. So we see a situation here. The preaching to sinners. I'm thankful that God is a second chance God to give, to go, to pray. Maybe there's someone here who needs to go. I've been challenged by our missionaries to Croatia. 20 years. Happy at Oklahoma. Church is really doing its best at that time. Interesting to me. But God spoke and they went. Praise God. Praise God. He went to share the good news. How shall they call on him of who they have not heard? People need to hear. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that heareth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. They've got to hear. Everybody ought to know who Jesus is. You see, friends, why is there a mandate from the Master for missions? Without a doubt, the most famous shipwreck in American history was the Titanic hitting the iceberg. You know the story. When it sank, there was 2,221 people on board. Some were rich. Some were poor. Some were educated. Some were ill-educated. But when the White Star Line published a report, there were just 2 lists. Do you know, we'd like to know what was the top of those lists? I've got a picture of it. One it said saved, the other said lost. That's it. Saved and lost. As I preached at a funeral on Friday, I said, friends, there is no purgatory. It's not in the Bible. You go to heaven or you go to hell. With Titanic, they were saved or they were lost. As it will be with every man who's ever lived, saved or lost. A missionary in Africa was once asked if he really liked what he was doing. His response was shocking. He said, do I like this work? He said, no. My wife and I do not like the dirt. We have reasonable refined sensibilities. We do not like crawling into vile huts through goat refuse. But is a man to do nothing for Christ that he does not like? God pity him, if not. Liking or disliking has nothing to do with it. We have orders to go, and we go. And he said this, love constrains us. Love constrains us. Some people are harder to love. I realize there's some people who are homeless who may have mental disabilities. I fully believe the great majority are homeless just because of alcohol or drugs. And I'll be quite honest with you, with all my traveling, I do not give them money. Maybe I should. I don't. But I always give them something. Usually a bottle of water, granola bar, some cookies, and a gospel tract. Because the Bible says God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And you see, friends, why did I say that Jonah was a reluctant but a great missionary? The whole city trusted in God. 125,000 people. There's never been a revival like it. Jonah was so backslidden, he wasn't even happy about it. But it wasn't man. It was the power of God. And friends, if we will reach in our pocket and take out a gospel tract, if we'll encourage people to come, by the way, the Bible uses the phrase, compel them to come. Go out the highways and hedges. I'm thankful for the bus ministry. I'm thankful for tract ministry. I'm thankful for Vacation Bible School, for Neighborhood Bible Time, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Why am I involved in a Bible college? We have a simple purpose at West Coast Baptist College. Here it is. Training laborers for his harvest. Why is that? Because Jesus said, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers in the harvest. Jesus prayed that you would enter the harvest field. Not necessarily go to another country. It might be. If he says go, go. Even someone 50 years of age, willing to go. But God wants all of us to do something. Are you going to do what God has called you to do? Let me tell you a story about a man. His name was Timothy Stackpole. I think I have a picture of him here. Good picture of Timothy here. Timothy Stackpole was a highly honored firefighter. The reason for that was in 1998, he was severely burned in a fire. He was in the hospital for months. He was scarred. When he got out, Timothy Stackpole could have had a full retirement. Now, I don't know about you, that sounds pretty good to me. But Timothy Stackpole, despite the advice of family and friends, said, no. Well, I can retire comfortably. I don't want to do that. They said, well, you can work in the offices. No. He said, I'm a firefighter. I'm a firefighter. And after a long rehab, he went back into firefighting in New York City. You probably could guess where I'm going. On 9/11, his station was called. You can imagine the trepidation that must have come to those men. But they knew what they were supposed to do. And Timothy Stackpole was one of the men who ran into the second tower and began climbing stairs to try to save someone. The tower collapsed and his life was taken. Can I just say this? He knew what his calling was, which was to try to save people. My friends, as believers, we need to remember what our calling is, to try to save people from hell. Jonah, for a period of time, forgot his calling. Now, we don't have to deal with people like the Assyrians, the Ninevites. Once in a great while, someone will slam a door in my face. I had a father this year of a family, I wouldn't say this in Lancaster, but I've recruited four of his kids to go to Bible college. And he's not real involved in ministry stuff. He called me up. He said, "You got some kind of a bonus program to get kids together?" I said, "No, sir, not at all." He swore at me more than once. I said, "Sir, I'm sorry you feel that way, but I wish the best for your kids. By the way, one graduated last year's teaching at a Christian school in North Carolina. Two more graduate this year. I'm not sorry. And by the way, blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven." It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. When I think about missions tonight, I want you to realize that like Jonah many, many years ago, we too have a mandate, a command from the Master. It's called the Great Commission. I'm glad that this church is still being practiced. I was sharing with Chris today that over half the Southern Baptist churches in America last year, I believe I got this right, did not have one baptism. Zero. I think some of those churches have forgot what church is all about, to see people get saved, baptized, discipled, serving. But I hope that we will remember that we too have a mandate to go, at least locally, to give and to pray. Let's pray tonight. Lord Jesus, I thank you for your goodness to us. I thank you for the privilege that is ours to serve you. I pray that you'll help us not to be like the reluctant missionary Jonah, but rather to be like Samuel, who said, "Speak, Lord, thy servant heareth." Lord Jesus, I know I have not always done that. I pray you'll help me to be responsive to your Holy Spirit's urging and to follow his lead to do what you'd have us to do.
If you would like to know more about the Lord Jesus Christ, you may contact us at the church website, gospelbaptistchurch.com, or you can go to Facebook and type in Gospel Baptist Church, Bonita Springs, Florida. Also, you could call the church office at 239-947-1285. Thank you, and God bless.